You're listening to Four Seas One Family, episode 72. Welcome to Four Seas One Family, the podcast where expats, immigrants, and migrants can share and learn about life experiences abroad. I'm your host, James Thomas, coming to you from Taipei, Taiwan, and I'm so glad to have you traveling along with me on this journey, and welcome to the show. Well, I hope everybody's enjoying their 2018 so far, and a lot of things are changing in the world, and things are changing so rapidly, but unfortunately, a lot of things, some of the things that are changing are really not taking a positive road to, how would you say, social recovery, financial recovery, and things like that. Me living in the part of the world I am in currently here in Asia, it is really, really... It's become very obvious how certain nations are really taking not a very constructive approach to furthering the understanding of the people of the world. During this podcast, I've been trying to show that we have a lot more in common than we think, but it seems to me that things going on, especially in my own nation and Europe and things like that, it's not really fostering, well, better understanding of people, and that this is very sad to me. When you become an expat or an immigrant, or even a migrant, you see the world from a dimension that you were not aware of back in your home nation. You really learn that some of the old perceptions that you had in your mind before may have been totally wrong. And by immersing yourself in another culture, you find out that there are some doors that need to be open because we are frankly the same in more ways than we think. I say that quite often. And sometimes it isn't easy to try to transfer this way of thinking to friends and family back home. Now, there's a lot of reason why people choose to go abroad to live or to work. There's a lot of reasons. It could be financial reasons or reasons of obtaining an opportunity that you, frankly, were not able to, you know, achieve at home. It doesn't mean that you don't love your home country any the less. It just means for that current time, you're just looking elsewhere for furthering developing yourself or making things better for your loved ones. And it's really a hard decision sometimes. But once you find yourself in another environment, you really, really find a different type of understanding of people. Now, no place is perfect. Your home nation, your host country, no place is perfect. But there are things that we can learn from each other that we can maybe put together to make a better cultural or humanistic sauce that we could probably instill in people. And this may be, well, like building a dream, or maybe not as realistic as I may think, but I do think it's a possibility. And right now, today, more than ever, we need to build it up because we spent too much time tearing things apart. Now, by me living out here in Asia, I'm observing many smaller nations not relying like they used to on larger nations such as the United States or England and places like that. They're developing a sort of cross-pollinization between each other to build each other's infrastructure, economic or social condition up. And I'm seeing it happening at a faster pace, but it is working better in some places than others. But I can see now that nations that used to be seen as being extremely weak, or in some cases in the eyes of Western nations, as not that important in the social makeup of world events. But now things are changing. And we must look for opportunities today that will help build a better understanding of each other. And we can do that in a number of ways. For example, today my guest is Hennessy. That's right, Hennessy. She's originally from the UK. She now lives in Spain. And her way of getting involved in the culture in Spain is by learning the language. Now, she spent many years before going to Spain learning Spanish, Castellano, I should say. And she has learned how to adapt to a place where she has, well, once dreamt of going to. And without further ado, let's listen to the interview. How you doing, Hennessy? Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm doing really well, thanks.
Great. Tell everybody where you're coming to us from today.
So today I'm coming to you from Valencia, Spain.
Where's home originally from?
I'm originally from London in the UK.
Uh-huh. And I'm originally from New York. You can tell from my accent, right?
Yeah, actually. I spent some time there.
Oh, yeah. Where have you been to?
My grandfather used to live in New York. So my brother and I used to spend summer holidays visiting him. He was in Westchester, but, you know, we went into the city as well.
How did you end up where you are? How did you end up in Spain?
So I have learned Spanish for some time. I learned it in high school because I actually spent most of my high school years in Jamaica. So I had the option to be learning Spanish there. After I returned to London, I continued my studies for a little while. And then, you know, like so many people who study a language in school, after I left school, I didn't really do anything with it and I forgot a lot. But a couple of years ago, I decided that I wanted to resume my studies and I wanted to set myself the challenge to become fluent in Spanish. And, you know, Spain being so close, I thought, why not spend some time in Spain? Mm-hmm. And I visited Valencia, and it's a beautiful city. And I pretty much fell in love with the city and I wanted to live here. And I decided I was going to find a way to make that happen, to live in a much nicer, warmer climate than the UK, and to also, you know, perfect as much as you can ever perfect my language skills.
Wow, you just jumped right in there, very aggressive and all that stuff. And so did you do any other type of research about Valencia or the part of Spain you're living in? But I mean, you got a good springboard with learning the language, right? That's cool. But what other type of preparations did you do before going there?
One of my main priorities, you know, escape from the lovely London weather. So I definitely wanted to move to a part of Spain that was warmer, much milder climate all year round. Somewhere where there were, you know, frequent flights to the UK so I could go back and visit my family. And I work for a large company that also has offices globally. And I needed to find somewhere where my company also had an office in the hope that maybe I could relocate with my company. So you know, I had a look at which cities there were in Spain, and I visited a couple, and I settled on Valencia.
Wow. What surprised you the most when you first got there then? I mean, did you find out anything that was not exactly how it was described in the books and all that stuff? I mean, what surprised you when you got there the most, like, bam?
When I first arrived, there wasn't anything that was really shocking to me because I'd visited Spain, you know, a few times, to Seville, to Malaga, to Barcelona. So I wasn't totally shocked by the Spanish culture, but I think the things that stand out to me about Valencia, you know, they have their own regional language here, Valencia, or Valenciano. And all of the, you know, the main signs that are put up by the local council are in Valencian. So I got kind of confused sometimes with the street names because they have their Spanish Castellano name and they also have the Valenciano name. So I think that was something that I personally haven't really noticed that much when people are talking Valencian in the street instead of speaking in Castellano.
Castellano, right.
I'm sure it happens and I just don't figure it out because I don't understand.
Hey, you sound aggressive enough to pick that up and stuff like that. What are some of the customs that you picked up while you're there?
To me, you know, the different eating times to what they have in the UK. So people generally eat a lot later in the day.
What time?
So that's so Valencia actually has 4 meals a day, kind of. So you have your breakfast, which is early, before you would go to work, but it would be quite a small breakfast. Then people have something around about 11 o'clock, which they call almuerzo, which I guess the English equivalent to that is, for people who maybe work in an office, sometimes you kind of have 11s where you'd have a little bit of a snack round about mid-morning. But here, almuerzo can be, you know, quite substantial in that people will have a sandwich, a bocadillo, or something like that. And it's quite a social time for people who work, you know, they take this break together with their colleagues. And the thing about it was almuerzo, when you learn Spanish, you learn almuerzo as the word for lunch. But in Valencia, almuerzo is not lunch. Almuerzo is something different. And then round about 2 o'clock, between 2-3 o'clock, which is also the siesta time, that's when people will have their lunch. So because they call almuerzo, the mid-morning meal, almuerzo, they just call their lunch comida here. And comida just means food. So you have to kind of get used to that. Comida can mean food, but it can also mean lunch in Valencia. And then you would have your dinner, your cena, much later than in the UK, would be around 10 p.m. So from a socializing point of view, that's something to get used to. Obviously, in your own home, you can eat whenever you want. But when you go out, you know, even if you try to say, let's go for dinner at 9 o'clock, which I tried to do with a friend last night, they're like, no, no, 10 o'clock. But there have been times when I've said to my friends, you know, let's go out for an evening. Let's go a la hora inglés, like let's go at English time when we want to go out a bit earlier.
Yeah, there's all kinds of cultural things you have to deal with, like dealing with different locations, customs with times, or like certain greetings, how you greet people, or even simple things like gift giving and stuff like that. Are there any type of, how do you deal with the time arrangements? You just said that because, you know, we do have different times. Like out here in Asia, when people say be at a certain time, you know, a place at a certain time, you have to be there. Some places, when you say a certain time, it really means an hour later. Are there anything like that that you, you know, have to bounce around, or greetings, or even gift giving, like I just mentioned?
So in terms of time, I think there is a bit of a stereotype, at least in the UK, that Spaniards are not punctual, that Spaniards are like really laid back, and they have this mañana, mañana, like everything's, you know, tomorrow, later. But, you know, I have friends who are quite punctual, not always. It seems to be culturally okay here to cancel plans at the last minute, which is something that I and fellow expats are like, what? Or not to make concrete plans in the first place. You know, I've had times where I think I've made concrete plans with somebody, and then on the day I'll get a text like, oh, so what are we doing? Are we meeting up? And I was like, well, yeah, we agreed that 3 days ago. So that's something quite different. In terms of greeting people, you know, here they greet people with two kisses on either cheek. And sometimes, to me, you know, it's a bit weird because even people you've never met before, it's quite customary if you're meeting a friend of a friend, at least if you are female, then even if you're meeting another female, or if you're meeting a male, you would generally greet somebody with two kisses, which obviously in England, traditionally, we don't kiss strangers. If you see your friend, you might give them a kiss on the cheek. Or some people think in England, you know, if you go around giving people kisses, it's a bit of an affectation. So, for example, it's something that might be popular in arts and media, but your everyday people don't go around kissing. So there's that. And then gift giving, I haven't really come across that many occasions for gift giving, but for my birthday, you know, a couple of friends did give me something small. So they would say like a little detalle, a little detail, just a little something to acknowledge, you know, your day.
Yeah.
But it's not in major. The other thing actually with gift giving was around Christmas.
Right.
So in the UK, Christmas Day is the main day for gift giving. Whereas here, they celebrate something in the 6th of January. So religiously, it's Epiphany. But here, it's just known as Dia de Reyes, like the Three Kings Day. And it's actually a bit more important than Christmas. So traditionally, gifts are given on the 6th of January. Because of the influence of, you know, culture from other countries now, children know about Santa Claus, so they might get given a small gift on Christmas, but the main gift giving day is the 6th of January. So on Christmas Day, I was texting my friends, like wishing them Merry Christmas and saying, oh, what did you get for Christmas? And they're like, nothing. And I'm like, nothing?
Nothing.
And they were like, no. In my family, like I heard it from quite a few of my friends, in my family, we give presents for Reyes. Mm-hmm. So that was also something quite different.
How do you deal with, you mentioned a little bit about social interactions. Are there any, like, something uniqueness in the Spanish social environment that kind of stick out in your mind, especially to you as a, you know, female expat?
To me, sharing food. I'm used to, in England, if you go to a restaurant, everybody just orders what they're having. It's only if you were to go to certain types of restaurant, like if you go to an Indian or a Chinese restaurant, then you might order a number of dishes for the table and share them. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, here you might go to any restaurant and people share their food. So if you go to a restaurant here, a menu is not, you know, the menu that lists all the dishes. That's la carta. Okay. A menu is a set meal. So it would have a starter, one or two main courses, and then dessert, drinks, coffee. Mm-hmm. And they're designed for sharing. So you'll go to some restaurants and they'll list the menu, but it says, you know, the menu is for four people. So if there's less than four people, you can't order that really. Also paella, which is famous, and paella originated in Valencia. So here you have paella valenciana, and one person in most restaurants, except maybe in more touristic areas, one person can't order paella because it's made in a massive dish. And, you know, restaurants will make a paella. Either you have to be at least two of you, or where they do serve it individually, they will have made a big pot and they're serving from that.
Wow.
So
it's all family, like group oriented. That was something to,
yeah. And that's the other thing that I noticed, you know, like, especially on the weekends, you see entire families out for a meal together. And, you know, you'll be in a restaurant and they're setting up a table for 12 people. It's not like a family of four.
Right.
It's everybody, like, you know, the parents and maybe the grandparents and all the kids and aunties and uncles. Wow. And
like a parade.
It's a big thing. Yes. And they let all the children run around in the restaurant, which to me was quite strange because in England you'd be saying, like, be well behaved.
Right.
Sit down and eat nicely. Here they just, all the adults sit at one end of the table and all the children are at the other end. And then they're just like,
running all around. Welcome to the gym, the playground. Well, you know, it's very interesting when you live in
this will be at 11 p.m. as well.
Wow. What type of questions do you get from locals when they ask you about your home or anything like that? Do you get any type of questions that would flabbergast you or anything like that?
To me, there hasn't been anything really outrageous. There are things like, you know, they'll make jokes about the lovely British weather and the cold and so on, or they'll say it's cold here, and I'm like, you have no idea what cold is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, we talk about things more when things happen, and I'm like, oh, this is different in England, like, you know, with the sharing of food or the making of plans or just other things that come up. But I haven't had any real shocking questions. I've had people be surprised that I speak Spanish. You know, there's probably a bit of a stereotype that mm-hmm. Brits don't learn other languages.
Wow, sound like Americans.
They assume people will speak English. Yeah. But, you know, amongst the British expats that I know here, you know, a lot of people speak some Spanish or they're trying to learn. So that's good. But I've also been complimented on my accent sometimes when speaking in Spanish because they're like, you know, you speak Spanish really well for an English person. It's, you know, so I guess maybe there are some sounds that people find difficult from English, but
yeah, that comes
so
with the
there's
package.
That comment.
Yeah, that comes with the package. How about explaining things to people back home? Because, you know, sometimes you go back periodically and You know, it also may be something good that, you know, being in Europe, you know, is a lot easier to get around, and you can jump on a train and a few hours later you'd be someplace. But what about people who are back home in England? I mean, are there any type of things that are stereotypes that you find yourself discussing with them that you have to squash, or, you know, say, no, it's not like that, or the people not like there don't really do that, or, you know, things like that?
So I think, you know, I've told people that they're not all, Spaniards are not always late.
Mm-hmm.
And just things that for me were strange, and I've commented to my family back home about. So I went back to the UK for my birthday, and we went out, and I had a good time with my friends. You know, I was home somewhere like 1:30, 2:00. And I felt really strange because in Spain, that's when you're just going out. So I was like, how comes I'm at home? This is really weird.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my friends there ask me, how do I get on with, you know, the eating late, the going out late? I posted on Facebook one day, like, you know, it was November, and I came out of a club at 6 a.m. And wow. I put on Facebook, it's so nice to come out of a club at 6 a.m. and not need a coat in November. And my friend was like, why were you out till 6 a.m.? I'm like, because that's normal here.
Wow. A little change here, because, you know, I found you from your website. You know, it is very, very interesting, the website. And, you know, talk a little bit about your website, because you are on a mission with your website, or what?
I wouldn't say I'm on a mission with the website, but because I'm in the process of trying to move to Spain full time, that's, you know, that's my goal. That's what I want to do. But at the moment, I'm still transitioning, so I'm still spending a lot of time in the UK, splitting my time between the two countries. And I just felt that that was actually something that was a bit different from, you know, a traditional kind of expat who makes the move fully to the other country. And mm-hmm. I kind of call it my dual country life.
Okay.
And I thought it might be interesting to write about that and to share that with people, to share my experiences in Spain and some of the culture and the customs that I'm learning about, to share a bit about the process of how I went about moving to Spain and planning for it and really, you know, making that happen, to kind of spread that idea that it doesn't always have to all happen in one go, or, you know, you can dip your toe in the water to see if you really do want to fully move to another place. And then also just share my progress as I go on from this point, and, you know, hopefully do find a way to make that full transition into living in Spain full time.
Has living outside your home nation changed you in any way? Or if, you know, if not, you know, how has it changed you? Because, you know, living even in a new neighborhood can change you in some ways. How has Spain changed you?
I think I've adjusted quite well and quite quickly because I've lived abroad before. So to be away from my friends and family wasn't a massive shock. It wasn't something I've never experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to think that, you know, being here in Spain has made me a little bit more laid back, because you have to be. I always say to my friends, like, in Spain, and a plan is not a plan like what we're used to. A plan is an idea.
Oh, an idea.
It's not until, you know, you actually do that thing that you definitely have a concrete plan. So I've had to learn a little bit to go with the flow around certain types of arrangements like that. I think it's changed me in that I have a very different life in Spain to the life that I have in the UK, because in the UK, you know, like, I'm in my mid-30s. I've reached that stage where friends are settling down to have families, or some friends that I, you know, used to hang out with when I was younger have moved away. Things have changed. So I don't have a very active social life in the UK. I also have, you know, some health problems, which was one of my reasons for wanting to move to a warmer climate.
Oh, I see.
So I found that in Spain, I'm able to do much more socially than I am in the UK, because I feel better. Being in the sun, being in longer hours of daylight through the winter has made a real difference. And in Spain, you know, I don't have my friends and family there. I need to get out of the house to see people, to not feel isolated. And because I've made the effort to go out and meet people to make friends, I have a very much more active social life in Spain, because there are more people who are in a similar position of not being at that stage when they are more family orientated in terms of having their own children and things like that. So when I'm in Spain, I'm out all the time. And when I'm in London, I don't really go out that much.
Wow, you're a wonderful person. I went through your blog, and the blog is, how long has it, you've been running your blog? I mean, not very long, right?
It only started in November, towards the end of November. So just a couple of months so far.
Right, of 2017. Okay, well, you know.
Yes, November 2017.
You know what, all this, you know, even though, you know, your blog has just got up and I'm sure you're going to make it quite popular. What kind of advice would you give, say, for someone like you or like me, about, you know, any expat or immigrant, whatever, what kind of advice would you give them when they are thinking about doing what you are doing? I mean, is there some kind of superhuman bravery skill that they have to have? What kind of advice would you give to those people?
I think, you know, do your research would be my main advice, and maybe try to find some way to road test your move. So that will obviously depend on your personal circumstances. For me to move to Spain, it's very close to the UK. I hop on a plane 2 hours from London to Valencia, very easy. So I dipped my toe in the water by, you know, hiring a cheap room and for 6 months coming out occasionally for long weekends, checking out the different neighborhoods of the city, seeing, you know, what people are like, what the place is like. And I kind of did that first long weekends, then spending a little bit longer when I can. So, you know, I said, do your research. Even when I came, for example, I knew which areas I thought I might like to live in. And I researched that from looking at estate agent websites and also, you know, blogs of other people. Facebook groups are also really useful for doing your research. So I looked for expats in Valencia, and there was a Facebook group called Expats in Valencia.
Wow.
And you can ask all sorts of questions on there, you know, from people who are moving with families to want to ask about schools in the area, to people who are asking, where can I get my nails done, to people who are expats who are moving and who are saying, I'm going to be moving from my flat in this area. Is anyone looking for a flat in this area? Or I need to get rid of all my furniture. Does anyone want to buy all this stuff? Mm-hmm. So I'd say that's really useful if you can, to try and talk to people who are already living there, visit, spend a chunk of time there, and then go for it. Don't be, you know, afraid to make a change in your life, because I think it's great to have these experiences of experiencing a different place, learning about a different culture, learning a language if you're so inclined. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing.
Well, you mentioned about the language. How much has the language really helped you to integrate more into the culture there?
I think for me, it's been really great, because I deliberately chose Valencia. Right. One of the reasons why I chose Valencia over, say, Barcelona is because it's the third largest city in Spain, but it's not, there's a good expat community here, but it's not as cosmopolitan, multicultural as Barcelona. And I think if I were to go to Barcelona, or if I were to go to some of the other areas down in Andalusia, where you have a lot of British expats and there are whole expat communities there where nobody learns Spanish, because they all just live in their bubble. And because I wanted to learn the language, I deliberately chose somewhere where the majority of the people do not necessarily speak English. And when I came, I've chosen to live in a residential area where there are mainly Spaniards, to force me to use the language. And I think it's helped a lot. You know, it's helped me build my social circle. I don't just have expat friends. I have friends who are also Spanish. So I think that's good because it's made me able to build a richer life. It's made me able to deal with the people who come to fix the air conditioning, the people in the bank, things like this, where, you know, you're going to go into local businesses and people are not going to speak English
right.
in some places. You know, if you're in the city center or you're down by the beach, sure, obviously they will want staff who can speak other languages to cater to the tourists. But when you're in a true like local area, you may struggle.
You may struggle. Well, you know, what do you struggle? Yeah, the languages helps a lot. It helps not only to communicate, but it helps you get a better cultural understanding of people. I really thank you very much for taking the time out of your day and to hook up with us here. But, hey, mention your website again. Can you tell us how people can, you know, maybe they want to talk with you again or get your advice on how you're living?
Yeah.
You know, where's your website?
So my website is www.mylifemivida.com. You know, I named it that because it's my dual country life right now. So I kind of say life in London, vida in Valencia. So I'm on that. I'm also my life, Mivida. You can find me on Twitter as well. And you can find my life, Mivida blog on Facebook.
Great. I'll have that all in the show notes. And, you know, I really, once again, thank you very much to, you know, take the time out of your day and joining us. And we'll be talking to you again, maybe in a year from now. Who knows?
Yes.
So, Hennessy, you take care and thanks for coming up.
Thanks for having me.
Once again, I'd like to thank Hennessy for joining me here at Four Seas, One Family. It's really great to hear other expats or immigrants or even migrants learning to adapt to their life in their new overseas location. And look, once again, now you can visit Hennessy at her website at mylifemivida.com. That's mylifemivida.com. And if you have an iOS device or Android device, visit the respective app stores and download our podcast app. That'll help us, well, get the latest episodes out to you and also you to keep in contact with me. And if you like anything you'd like us to cover or you have anything that you think will be interest to others who are interested in living or interested about life abroad in general, you know, drop me a note. I would really love hearing from you. For Four Seas, One Family, I'm James here in Taipei, Taiwan. Take care. 再见。